History Class Cryptids, A Week in the Life, by Darth Stitch, read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. Dream of the Endless has a very busy week, among other things. He is also not adorable. Please stop spreading this rumor around, Robert Gatling, as the Lord of Dreams and Nightmares has a certain dignity to maintain. Or, kids and babies all love Dream of the Endless, and he's slowly but surely adopting himself a passel of little ones to look after. Monday. On Monday, Dream of the Endless reviewed the books of his dreamers in his library, sorting out stray dreams and nightmares and making sure all was well with the sleepers who visited his realm. If he had marked certain volumes to ensure a peaceful rest for some of those dreamers, well, that was his concern. His loyal librarian carefully hid her knowing smile when some of the names on those volumes included certain young students of his acquaintance. She also did not giggle when Dream took a few minutes to visit a sleeping Hop Gadling to chase away an old, painful memory that threatened to become a nightmare. The two of them had long since talked over that night in 1889, and reliving it in the dreaming was getting to be tedious. Honestly. And Hob had an exam to conduct on the morrow, and really didn't need to wake up grumpy and out of sorts. That Dream returned back to his palace with a becoming blush on his normally pale cheeks, and his lips kiss-swollen and curved into one of those now-frequent little smiles, was something Lucienne was not going to point out to her lord. She'd let his sister do the honors instead. Tuesday. Tuesday saw the Lord of Dreams making a visit to his nephew, Jed Walker, who was again under Galt's care. She had grown very fond of the boy and was quite protective of him. There were a few grates with the whole nephew business, but that was all right. It didn't matter. Family was family, after all. He might have chosen to keep his distance from the Walkers, believing, as it were, that he'd done quite enough to cause them pain. Jed and Rose weren't having any of that. They'd insisted he visit, and in these days, he had found himself quite unable to deny certain mortals anything. The Walkers were on that very short list. He was quite amused at Jed's continuing adventures as the Sandman, and praised the boy's inventiveness at crafting his stories. He was shown a sketchbook that Jed was busy filling out to tell his tales, and the two of them had quite a discussion over what his next adventures would be, with copious amounts of cookies and some hot chocolate. Before he left, the boy caught him up in a hug and said, "See you soon, Uncle Dream." Uncle Dream. He rather liked the sound of that. And the hug, too. Wednesday. Dream was quite sure that Wednesdays had it in for him. Perhaps old Odin Gallows Ruler had never quite forgiven him for that one time back in the year of Fenris Stalking, a winter that had been particularly sharp and cold. Dream had won that particular game with a particularly clever flourish that he was rather proud of. Even if Lucienne rolled her eyes at him when she recalled that memory. She had been his raven at the time. But still, 6,000 years was rather long to hold a silly grudge. That being said, the Lord of Dreams and Nightmares repressed a careful sigh as he stalked the streets of London, boots lightly touching the ground as he chased after a particularly stubborn nightmare. This one wasn't as noxious as the Corinthian, but it was malevolent enough that it had the gall to chase after a few of the students in Hobbit's classes. That would not do at all. There was a bright flash as Dream rounded a corner. Power, a grace that was quite distinctive in its flavor, was in the air. Dream knew what it was, of course, as he had stopped to take in a vision in black, starlight touched wings, and a bright sword that shone in the gloom briefly before it was sheathed again. The angel. No. Archangel had a little girl in pajamas that he'd carefully tried to shield behind a wing. His nightmare lay cowering on the ground, whimpering in terror. A tentacle lay twitching just a few inches away, bleeding a sickly green ichor. "Hail, Commander of the Host," Dream said simply, taking refuge in the formalities, which was always best in these matters. "I apologize, as I have been remiss in my duties of late." "No, it's quite all right," said Michael the Archangel, lately known as Percival of Kingsman. "I heard about that business with Burgess, Dreamlord. I'm sorry that happened to you." "I would rather not speak of it further," Dream responded shortly. He banished away his stray nightmare with a wave of his hand. The unmaking of the creature would be done shortly in the dreaming.
"Who's that, Percy?" asked the little girl.
"Well, he's a friend, sweetling," Michael answered, picking her up in his arms.
Lord Morpheus, the King of Dreams and Nightmares, and the Prince of Stories.
I like stories, the little girl said, bright blue eyes studying Dream intently.
I'm glad that meets your approval, my Lady Daisy Genevieve Unwin. He knew her dreams, of course, which often involved adventures with her two beloved older brothers, and had an Arthurian flair. A gasp.
You know my name!
He knows everyone's name, darling. Let's get you home before Eggsy and Harry send out all the knights looking for us. And perhaps his darkness might join us for a cuppa? It was on Dream's tongue to make a polite refusal, but he'd underestimated Daisy Unwin and those appealing bright blue eyes.
Please, Mr. Dream, I'd like to hear a story from you before I go back to sleep.
Mortals. Honestly. Lucienne would never let him hear the end of this.
It would be my honor, m'lady.
Thursday.
He has absolutely no idea what he's doing to our collective sanity, does he?
A sigh. Nope. Did you take pictures?
I got you, Professor G. This adorableness needs to be recorded for posterity.
I am not adorable, Dream of the Endless said, with a mighty attempt at maintaining his dignity as monarch of the Sleeping Marches.
I am simply having a conversation with young Master Robin here, lest he continue to disrupt your class, Hobgatling.
Young Master Robin, who was all of 6 months old, gurgled happily in Dream's arms. There was an excited wave from one pudgy fist, which Dream caught with careful fingers before it collided with his nose.
I'm sure it's very interesting, Murphy, said Max with a cheerful nod. Don't mind us, we'll just go die of cuteness over here. It's not a bad way to go.
You mortals defy my understanding sometimes.
I'll explain it to you later, love, said Hob with a resignation, but not before dropping a quick kiss on the corner of Dream's pouting mouth. Dream struggled mightily to maintain the annoyed look, but his eyes, of course, gave him away, which only made Hob shake his head at him, his own lips pressed firmly together to prevent the laughter from escaping. Little Robin had no such inhibitions, of course. The baby giggled and made some sort of sound, which made Dream nod solemnly at him.
You're quite right, Master Robin. If your mother doesn't mind, we shall take a little walk round so that Hob might continue his lecture in peace.
Thank you, darling, was the fervent response. Just bring him back safe and sound, that's all I ask, said his mother, Joyce, cheerfully.
You have my word on that.
Friday. It had been a while since Dream of the Endless had touched an instrument. He knew how long, of course. He could count the eons, the years unspooling down in his memory down to the very second. Ever since he had lost his son, Orpheus. Dream had chanced upon Hobbes' students in one of the music rooms, music, of course, being another interest the children had. Eddie, for example, had shown such wonderful verve on the electric guitar, which had bled over into the D&D campaign that they regularly ran. Iggy enjoyed the drums, and young Jane Ives had shown an aptitude for the piano. Isabel, though this was something of a running joke amongst her own countrymen, could sing quite well. And the other children either could sing or simply enjoyed the music.
Do you play? Was Jane's question, as Dream touched the ivory keys of the piano with careful reverence.
Yes.
She scooted over to make room for him, smiling an invitation. He'd almost wanted to say no. He almost wanted to flee, at that very moment, back to the dreaming, to bury himself in his work as always, because there were 100,000 tasks awaiting him, and 10,000 more on the morrow.
I didn't know you played, said Hob, standing in the door and conveniently blocking his only means of escape, at least with the children present. I'd love to hear it. Please?
The children, of course, chorused their own pleadings, but truly there was no need. Hob was obviously one he would never say no to. Not this simple pleasure. Not this one thing. Dream of the Endless could sing, of course. His son had come by his love and talent for music honestly, inheriting it not just from his mother, but from his father as well. Orpheus heard his father sing him lullabies and stories from the cradle, carried the music in his blood and to the very marrow of his bones. Dream hadn't sung since his son was lost to him, hadn't played since their last painful conversation. But he played now, fingers dancing lightly across the black and white keys. He'd raised his voice and melody to see the wonder and delight and love in Hob's eyes, to invite the children to sing and play with him,
And then suddenly, right next to him, was his sister. Her hair was sunlight and her mismatched eyes shone bright, and butterflies danced in the air, one of them tangling in his own dark locks. The children didn't question the presence of this stranger. It seemed that she had always been right there. Delirium, who was Delight once more, just for the fraction of this eternal moment. "That was lovely, Dream," Delirium said shyly. "I hope you don't mind."
"I don't mind, sister. I am glad to see you."
"You sure? 'Cause sometimes you scare me a little. But you're not so sad lately, right? I worry." Dream dropped a kiss into the soft fuzz of her hair.
"I regret that I made you feel this way, my sister. And you're right. I am happy right now."
He slanted a look at Hob, who clearly wanted to ask so many questions, but kept a tactful distance from them.
"You know you can always visit me in my realm, don't you? You are welcome there."
"Promise?"
"Of course."
Delirium beamed.
Somewhere in the labyrinth that Destiny walked, the ground shuddered. His book fell open and its pages fluttered. Destiny traced his long bony finger across the words of a page he knew well. But the story was different now. It was changing.
The end. Footnote the first. An archangel in One of the Endless now had a standing appointment for coffee and tea every Wednesday, especially since Dream was still convinced that Wednesdays had it out for him. Tuesdays he could handle just fine. What do an archangel and One of the Endless have in common? Apparently a lot of things, not the least of which was sibling woes. Footnote the second. Dream of the Endless is neither cute nor adorable, the very impudence. He and Little Robin will take themselves off in high dudgeon, the better to get away from those ear-piercing squeeze. Footnote the third. On Saturday, Dream found himself cuddling next to his very amused, very warm, very accommodating boyfriend, who smelled of soap and some fresh light scent that was very pleasing to his sensitive nose, especially since he was currently burying his face in Hob's neck. His hands had found its way beneath Hob's shirt, the better to feel his skin. He was getting kisses as well, and this was quite restful because even dreamlords deserved a break every now and then. Notes. That's it. I am going to give you a goddamn happy ending, Dream of the Endless, even if it kills me. You hear me?